Joining us to chat about it now is Rory Boylan from Sportsnet, our NHL columnist, co-host of Hockey Central Saturday as well. Rory, thanks very much for being with us. Well, this deal looked like it was dead on Friday night. It gets done on Sunday. No matter how you feel about it, Rory, you got to give everybody involved in this credit for being able to pull off this kind of a deal. You don't see too many deals like this day and age in the NHL.
No, not usually in the NHL, and definitely not this early in the season. We usually look at the American Thanksgiving, which comes towards the end of November, as that mark in the season where enough games have been played that general managers and coaches know what they have, they know what they don't have, what they need to kind of adjust. You know, you're past your small sample sizes and everything. And I was looking back, there have been 65 trades made in the NHL from the beginning of the season up until American Thanksgiving, from 05-06 to now, but only about two or three of those were really impactful trades. One of those being the Alexander Steen trade, Toronto sending him off to St. Louis. So there's nothing like this. This one really stands out for a lot of reasons, but I think we were waiting on this Duchesne trade for, you know, maybe up to a year, maybe a little bit more than that even. Definitely around the trade deadline, we were looking for that to happen. When that didn't happen, it was over the summer, and when he had to show up to training camp without a deal being done, it was, you know, how long can this go on? He clearly didn't really want to be there, and really it was in his interest, in Matt Duchesne's interest, to come out, play strong, be productive, because the Avalanche really needed to hit a home run on this trade. The Ryan O'Reilly move they made a couple years back, really there's not a ton to show for it. They have J.D. Compher and Nikita Zadorov left from that. So to trade another big impactful center like Duchesne, he can't come away regretting that in a couple of years. They had to make sure they got what they wanted, and that's what took this so long to happen. They knew what their price was. They weren't getting it, and they held out knowing that they didn't have to trade Duchesne quickly. He's got another year on his contract. They finally got the deal that they were after, and they come out looking as good as they can when you have to move someone like this.
A very complex deal whenever you have three teams involved, and not only for that reason, Rory, but Nashville had to get Kyle Turris under contract, and they did, six-year, $36 million contract extension. So you look at it from Nashville's perspective, they add Turris, that's a bonus. They give up prospect draft pick, but their team was in the Stanley Cup final last year. That's a player they think that can help them. Makes sense. Ottawa brings in Duchesne, a player they have long coveted, and a team that was only one goal away from Stanley Cup final last year for draft picks and prospects. Makes sense. Colorado, as you mentioned, really had to do well. While they didn't get a Thomas Chabot or a 1A prospect, they got a prospect they really liked and a lot of draft picks. So we don't know, and you know, we play the winner-loser game all the time when a deal is made, but on the surface, it appears certainly that every team certainly got what they wanted, right?
It really does look that way. I mean, Colorado, like I said, they needed to come out big, and they did. Sam Girard, I mean, he's not... Like you said, he's not like that Thomas Chabot. And then really, realistically, they weren't ever going to move Chabot. He was just too good. But Girard still was, you know, more than a point-per-game player in junior. He was the QMJHL Defenseman of the Year in his draft year. And he's looked good in the few showings we've seen in the NHL. Still a young guy at 19 years old. So he's ready. But the reason why Nashville could move a guy like that is because their strength now and for years has always been on their defense. I think they did really well to bring in Kyle Turris and get him locked down to a long-term contract with a $6 million cap hit, because between him and Ryan Johansson, you have your top two centers signed for the long-term future. Philip Forsberg, one of your top, probably your top scorer, your most offensive threat, signed for the long-term. I mean, Nashville now is locked into what they've got. You know, credit to David Poile. So all these moves that he's made over the years, some huge ones with Johansson, Forsberg, PK Subban, now Turris. I mean, they're really going for it, and they get the security now of with this extension of knowing that the guy they get in this trade is going to be there for a while. Ottawa definitely wanted Duchesne for a long time. He's an extremely fast player. His ceiling on offense is probably higher than Turris's, but he's definitely been up and down in his career too. Maybe the new the change in scenery, going to somewhere he really wants to be, kind of brings out the best in him. But you still have that uncertainty with Ottawa that after next season, he's going to be in the same position Turris was this season, needing a new contract, being UFA eligible. And now you have to wonder, well, is he going to cost more than $6 million a year, which is what Tourist is going to get from Nashville. But looking at the now, I think Ottawa gets the player they want. They get some more speed in the lineup. Nashville, you know, gets the guy that they want, a good two-way player who's really found his game in Ottawa. Sign him for the long term, and Colorado gets all the prospects that they need, some draft picks. I think you're right. I think every team gets what they want. Time will tell who the ultimate winner is, but at first glance, everybody can move forward from this feeling pretty good.
Yeah, it appears to be a win-win-win in that case, so good on everybody. Rory Boylan is with us from Sportsnet, NHL columnist and co-host of Hockey Central Saturday. Check it out on Saturdays right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and our Sportsnet radio network stations. I'm Roger Lajoie. Ottawa and Nashville, with Nashville's help, really, making a big deal tonight with Colorado. Matt Duchene goes to Ottawa, and Tourist winds up in Nashville, Colorado, with a pile of picks. Rory, let's take a couple of minutes, talk about some of the other teams and the highlights from so far this season in the NHL. A low light in the NHL has been the play of the Edmonton Oilers. They've been very disappointing. You know, it looked like they were, you know, on their way. They got a win over the Devils, but then they got dumped by the Red Wings. And, you know, Connor McDavid has been good, but not Connor McDavid like he was last year. He's not their problem. But what is the problem in Edmonton?
Scoring or lack thereof. They can't put the puck in the back of the net. They rely so much on Connor McDavid. Coming into the weekend, he had been involved in he had gotten a point on more than half of Edmonton's goals, which speaks to how great he is, but also how dreadful the Edmonton offense has been. And it's really kept them from building any momentum. You know, they haven't won two games in a row yet. They get a win and they look good in it, and you think maybe this is the start of something, they can find their legs, and they lose two games in a row right after that. A home stretch can't even get it going for them. And now, after another shutout loss against Detroit tonight, they headed on the road to the Eastern Conference with the Islanders, the Devils, the Rangers, and the Capitals, and those are going to be tough matchups. And, you know, they went a few games without Leon Draisaitl, who missed some time with concussion. You bring him back, you put him with Connor McDavid, and hope that can spark some offense, and it did to some degree, but as long as they're on the same line, that's where all the scoring is coming from. That second, third, and fourth line isn't going to provide the secondary scoring, or hasn't to this point anyway. I think at some point, for a long time, you're going to need to split those guys up. Connor McDavid is your number one center. Leon Draisaitl is your number two. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins as your number three, which is where I think he fits in best. You know, the NHL these days, those third lines aren't straight checking lines like they used to be. They need to have some scoring punch to them, and that's the upside that you get with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins there. And in that sense, I think he's somewhat of an X factor here. You of course know Connor McDavid is going to score. You're expecting Draisaitl is going to be able to drive a line on his own with the money that you've given him. But I think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins still has to prove himself, and if he can be that third line guy that can provide the, you know, secondary scoring behind their big horses, then that's going to be a real difference maker for the Oilers. But they haven't found it yet. Their special teams have been awful. Their power play is 17th, I think. Their penalty kill is dead last. Todd McClellan has been all over these guys to a degree he didn't need to be last year, and it's not coming out of these guys yet. And now you have to worry. We are getting to a point where you're starting to see trends. You're getting past, you know, slow starts and saying maybe these teams aren't as good as we thought. And we're seeing with Edmonton, they're not fast. They're a very heavy team, but they're not fast, and they can't keep up with some of these faster teams in the Western Conference and certainly the Eastern Conference. And that's something that they're going to have to, take a hard look at and really make some improvements to before too long.
Definitely have some work to do moving forward, Rory, without question. So the Toronto Maple Leafs, speaking of hot start, how they're doing, had a hot start and are not playing very well recently, given up a lot of goals. And you talked about Edmonton not being able to score. The Maple Leafs at times have not been able to keep pucks out of their own net. What's your read on the Leafs, and which team is the real Leaf team?
Well, you know, when you're a team that relies on your offense like the Leafs do, you're going to be up and down. You know, any scorer, any sniper in the NHL inherently is a streaky player. He'll go for, you know, a few games, score a ton of goals, and then you won't hear from him for a few games. Then he'll be back, and at the end of the year, he'll have a ton of goals. And when you're a team like Toronto that's playing this way, that's kind of what you're going to see. You're going to get some hot streaks where you're going to see some wins, and then you're going to get some times where the defense isn't going to be able to be enough, and the offense isn't going to be able to make up for that. And that's what we're seeing from Toronto right now. I don't think we've learned anything new about this team through this slow stretch that they're going through. We knew that defense was going to be a problem for them. I think maybe we hoped that Frederik Andersen would be better to this point. You know, he started slowly last year too, but some of that could be due to the injury that he was dealing with. And then he found himself after that slow start, and he's been back to that sort of sub 900 level save percentage wise to this point in the season. And that's probably the most troubling thing of all, is the play of Frederik Andersen. But, you know, it's not all on him. That defense, not just the blue line, but the way the forwards come back and play defense and slow teams down, it's just not there for this team. You can try and change the lineup around, as Babcock has done, moving Bozak down to the fourth, Marner down to the fourth. You know, you move these guys all up and down. You use Patrick Marleau as a center to try and get some of that two-way play going, and it's just not there for this team. I think before long, the goals are going to be enough to get these guys back, winning a few games in a row and keep them in that hunt. But I think it is showing, this stretch is showing, that this team really has a problem on defense, and that's something that they're going to have to address. It doesn't mean you have to go out and get, you know, a number one defenseman, which is going to be pretty much impossible to do in season and really difficult to do out of the season as well. But you do need to make some kind of move, some kind of, you know, smaller moves to your depth lines, to maybe your second pair or something like that, to add some defensive presence, because as the season goes on, that's going to become more and more of a problem. You know, goals tend to go down as the season goes on. It's tougher to score in the playoffs. So if you want to have a long playoff run, you're going to need to be a team that can play tough on defense as well.
Rory, before we let you go, Tampa Bay 11-2-2 have been the story in my mind this year. After the injuries last year and missing the playoffs, this team has really gotten it to another gear. I think a lot of people thought this was the Tampa Bay we'd see last year. I know it's only 15 games into the season, but if they stay healthy, this is a powerhouse.
Yeah, they are loaded everywhere. You know, Steven Stamkos, there was a lot of talk at the start of the season about how he was becoming more of a playmaker, to Nikita Kucherov becoming the sniper. And then in the last couple of games, he's got 4 goals and 1 assist. So now Stamkos is starting to score more goals. And I think that's just a matter of, you know, you put these two guys together, one of them is going to be able to find a way to get open. That's the guy that's going to get the puck, and that's the guy that's going to be able to put the puck in the back of the net. What makes Tampa Bay so great, though, is you have your guys like Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, these guys who are drafted at or near the top of their draft classes. You know that these guys are going to be big difference makers, big players for your team. But then you get guys like, another great story coming out of Tampa Bay this year is Braden Point, a third round pick, 16 points in 15 games. You know, Vlad Namestnikov has been put on that top line with Stamkos and Kucherov. He's a really good scorer. Alexander Killorn, you know, you go up and down the lineup and you see these guys who aren't these top picks, who are later picks, who are you know, undrafted guys who are really making a difference on this team. And that's where that's the difference between this Tampa team and a lot of other teams in the league. You know, we know that they have the scoring. We expected them to be a high powered offense with everybody healthy, but they have a fantastic defense back there too. Victor Hedman is going to be a guy for years who's going to be in that Norris Trophy race. Mikhail Sergachev, 12 points in 15 games after coming down there from the Jonathan Drouin trade. Still a really young kid, logging some big key minutes. So you know, the Anton Strahlman, when they brought him in, a really defensively responsible player. They're really well-rounded. They were able to get Kucherov and Stamkos on really team-friendly contracts as well, so they're very stable when you look at the contracts and how the team is aligned that way too. So they look like they're a team that's going to be a Stanley Cup challenger, not just this year and next year, but for a long time to come, because they're still a relatively young team, all signed, just really well-rounded team. They're going to be so tough for everybody to beat.
Without question, Tampa Bay looking terrific. Best team in the league right now. Rory Boylan, yep, joining us, Sportsnet NHL columnist, co-host of Hockey Central Saturday. Check it out. Rory, great to have you on the show. Have a great week.
You too.